Hello and welcome back to You Only Live Twice with Courtney and Scott.
Hey everybody.
So we decided that we've done a podcast episode so far where we kind of just ramble and introduce you to kind of the type of people we are. But as we said in the first one, there's a reason that we started the podcast, and it's because there's multiple ways in our lives that we have gotten second chances, and one of them is that we have both flatlined.
Congratulations.
to both of us for making it through. So, we thought that we would start with at least one of the stories as to why, or what we wanted to share and give you a little idea. So I am going to go first with my story of how I have flatlined and am still here, obviously. Thank you, Captain Obvious, for me saying that.
I just think it's important that everyone understands kind of who we are as people, but what we've been through and what brought us to this point, right? Like, I think our name and title for the podcast can be somewhat confusing because most people say you only live once. But when you go through what we've been through and the experiences we've had and what brought us together, it was apropos that we titled it the way we did. But I think our story and what we each have been through and how we've overcame it, become better and healthier people, is important. And knowing what we went through, I think, will allow people to get to know us better, closer, and hopefully invest themselves in our journey, right?
Yes. And right. Hopefully the fact that we had to live and learn from it, we obviously don't want everyone to have to go through the exact same things that we have. But just understand that, I mean, I hate the saying, but life is short. And not having to go through the experience, you can live vicariously through us and our stories and what we've learned. So hopefully it's like the Cliff's Notes version for you and not having to go through the trauma. So you won't get the side benefit of being as funny as we feel we are from all of our trauma. But you can still learn from it as a whole.
But we do want to help people. And if this does touch anybody in a way that they feel like they would like to get help or talk more in detail about what we've been through, I think the whole point of, I know, speaking for myself and my journey, I want to inspire others to make changes so they didn't go through what I went through. We'll touch on that next week, but I know Courtney would probably feel the same way. So with that, we will dive into this. I do have just generic questions, but I will ask questions kind of throughout the process. This will be somewhat of a Q&A for you, Court.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
So I guess to start, When was your event? What happened and where were you?
Well, that's a lot. So I was 30 years old and pregnant. So I had a scheduled C-section with my second child because my first one was an emergency C-section.
Okay, but no one knows how old you are. So what year?
Oh, you want me to do math on the spot?
Yes.
12 years ago.
So 2012.
Yeah. Okay. I do work with numbers.
You should remember your daughter's birthday.
Oh, well, I wasn't thinking about the... Okay. That doesn't always happen, though, where it's 2012. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah. So 2012. And, yeah, do you want me to tell the whole story and you interject?
Well, just where were you? Like you, I obviously know the story, but for the people listening, that was in 2012. You were pregnant. You had a scheduled C-section. But,
yeah.
Well, so, where were you when everything went down?
Oh, well, I was in Hagerstown, Maryland at the hospital. So got there at like 5:30 in the morning, and it started out completely normal where... It was kind of funny in retrospect, but on Facebook, it was, you know, back whenever it was like, Courtney is, and people would put in things that way, like their little comments. And I'd put, is upset that HGTV is not on, or something like, I hope HGTV is not being on the TV is the worst thing that happens today. Ha ha ha. Not knowing what was going to happen. So I was joking about
HGTV. Was it the worst thing?
No, but the fact that I was stuck in the hospital for a week after that without HGTV was kind of
Was your show that you were watching? Do you remember?
Everything. House Hunters, Beach Hunters, all the stuff, because I did not have my dream house yet. So I just liked to watch it. And it was my good zoning out thing. So, yeah, I was there, and then, I mean, everything happened, so
dive well, into what, that. Well, what was the scariest moment for you?
Well, I would say probably, I mean, none of it was fun until the, especially whenever the doctor came in, and as they were pushing on my stomach, and it felt like I was giving birth to what I found out later were blood clots that were the size of softballs.
So you had your C-section.
Yeah, I had my C-section, and if you don't know, so obviously if you give birth, there's the afterbirth, which is not the most fun, where they have to get everything out.
Yeah.
But if you have a C-section, they still have to push on your stomach to get all of that out. Normally you're numb, so as a person who had a C-section, you don't even know that you are having it done. So they were pushing to get, you know, the uterus and everything that was holding, not the whole uterus, but the lining, obviously, that was holding the baby and get everything out. And every time they did that, it just kept bleeding a lot. And they told me that that was normal when it happened. But then it was probably the third time that they had to change my bed sheets in the recovery room. So they take you to the recovery room, not back to your room. Mm-hmm. And they had to change my sheets three different times because they were getting so soaked with blood. That I was like, this doesn't seem normal. And so, yeah, they were literally the size of softball blood clots plopping out. And so they told me they couldn't stop the bleeding, and they gave me a shot. It was supposed to help coagulate the blood, and that still wasn't helping because nobody knew why it was happening. Still don't understand. It wasn't placenta previa. It wasn't any other different things that normally they could find out ahead of time. And Roxy was my nurse, and she kept telling me that I was fine. And then whenever she started freaking out, that was really my telltale sign that it was not good. Also, whenever they let my now ex bring my newborn in, because they don't let babies in there, they let her come in to meet me. I was like, that's weird. And then I found out later it was because they thought that might be the only time that I would get to actually meet my baby.
So what, while this is going on, and obviously probably a lot of things racing through your head,
mm-hmm.
What was the scariest moment for you?
It probably, at the moment, I was having faith in the doctors, which is funny because now I don't have a whole lot of faith, even though they saved me. But so it all seemed fake to me, so I wasn't even all that scared, because even whenever, so I was losing blood, and all of a sudden, my whole body felt light, I felt tingly, darkness was like closing in over my eyes, and I saw like these little white lights and twinkles and different things, and I yelled out that something wasn't right, and I remember thinking like, this isn't good, and I wonder if this is like what it feels like whenever you die. But then in my head I go, but you're not dying, obviously. So I wasn't even scared then because it was so surreal. I was like, well, that can't be what happens whenever you die. And then I heard everyone freaking out around me and the beeping of the heart monitor, and then the, I guess, what was ever flatlining and hearing those noises. But even then, again, it was so surreal, and I was probably quite literally in shock from losing so much blood that I laugh now because it's just, I can imagine watching it go down. It was not fun. But yeah, so, I mean, I wasn't even scared at all at that time.
So you remember hearing the beeps, hearing everything?
Yeah.
The fear hadn't hit you yet?
No. And they were, there was a thing that I remember, the doctor said something about get the blood in as fast as you can, whoosh. And whenever I heard him say the word whoosh, I was like, that's not a medical term. So the fact that he's even kind of freaking out and just saying like, hurry up, get it in there, that's not good. So yeah, even as they were, I didn't know how many IVs they were putting in me. They ended up putting in 11 different IVs to get as much blood in me as fast as possible because I was hemorrhaging so bad. I ended up getting 14 pints of blood in total. Just in that one day, I had to get more after that. But yeah, I had no idea what was happening to me, that I was being stabbed with all of these needles or anything. And then it wasn't even scared, but what was super sad to me, because I wasn't really scared at the time, is whenever they came over and they said, we have to take your uterus out or else you're going to die. But again, it seemed so surreal. It wasn't even a scary thing. I was just super sad because they said, we can either take it out here, and you'll be completely fine. Or we can try to save it by lifelighting you to Baltimore, which would have been, I want to say, like a 15, 20-minute helicopter ride. And we can try to save you there at the, I think it was like a Mayo Clinic or something there. And I was like, well, yeah, I want to have more kids, so lifelight me. And I saw they just kind of looked at each other, the doctor and my now ex, and I was like, what are they doing? And so I found out later that he essentially told him, yeah, like, she's going to die in the helicopter, so you just need to convince her to have her uterus taken out, or else she's going to die for sure, like 100%. Like, I know I gave a choice, but there's not really a choice. So whenever he came back in, my ex, he was like, yeah, just so you know, like, you'll die if you don't do this, so your kids won't have a mom. So that, again, I mean, I guess it was kind of scary, but I was more pissed off that I was going to lose my chance to have more kids, and it was being taken from me. That's what I was focused on at that moment, because, again, I thought that I was safe being in the hospital and hadn't quite realized quite how crazy it was, so I had to hurry up and sign paperwork to have a hysterectomy and save my life.
So, obviously, there's a lot that goes on, and it's somewhat chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's really hard to grasp everything that is going on in these moments, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the first thing that you remember when you woke up?
I was very confused and kind of felt like everything that had happened was fake. Maybe I just dreamed it, because sometimes you get some really good drugs in the hospital. I thought maybe I just dreamed it, because I have crazy dreams just on a daily basis. And then I looked down and my body was so swollen, I kind of looked like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Because with my first, I'd gone up to like 200 pounds, which was pretty big for my 5'7 frame. And with my second, I think I'd gained 25 pounds. So in theory, a normalish amount of weight. And so I looked down and my one arm in particular was so huge and puffy. And then I looked at my face and it looked like I got stung by a million bees with how big and puffy I was. So, I just remember going, oh, so something definitely happened. And of course the fact that my whole family was sitting in the room staring at me as though I was going to die at any second. So the fact that I actually opened up my eyes was amazing. No one's ever been that happy to see me wake up before in my entire life. So yeah, that was, one of my, yeah, probably the first thing that I remembered. And then my one arm never went down in swelling. And I kept telling them something was wrong with it. And then it was like 2 or 3 days later, they found out that I had a DVT, which is essentially just a really badass blood clot that you don't want to have. And so they're like, oh, well, we know that you're safe from not dying from the uterus. But just know that at any point, I mean, obviously they try to say it nicer, but at any point that can travel to your brain and you could have a stroke, or something else could happen to you and you could die. So you need to be really careful. And I had to give myself shots in my stomach for weeks and all kinds of things. So I couldn't even relax even after my life was saved because I had a DVT because I put so many IVs in me.
How long did that struggle last?
That was at least 6 months till they told me that I was probably in the clear. And even then they were like, but you're probably more prone now, especially in that area, to get blood clots. So just be careful.
And which arm was that?
That was my left arm.
So how long were you in the actual hospital?
In the actual hospital, just under a week because, American medicine is awesome. And they were like, there's nothing that we can do for you here. We can just have a nurse come to your house. And even with that, I still had to go back to my job then too. I only had a 6-week maternity leave, even after all of that. I could have, you know, legally had the full 12 weeks, but they weren't going to pay for anything further. So even though I essentially died, I feel like I should have gotten long-term disability, short-term disability, and bereavement, because I technically died. I had multiple surgeries. I had a lot going on, but instead I got, now I think they pay full pay and for longer, but I got 6 weeks short-term disability, so only like half my pay. And I was the primary breadwinner, so I had to go back to work, still with my blood clot and healing from multiple surgeries.
What was the hardest part about going back to work?
Everybody, you know, after you have a kid, like, oh, how was the vacation? And that's just even annoying, even if you just birth a kid. Because you're going to be like, listen, Jim Bob at the coffee maker, like, screw you, I popped a baby out of me. And they've been literally feeding off of me for months and now for a few weeks. And that, like, it's not a vacation. You don't sleep. You are exhausted. It's fun, but it's not a vacation. So normally it's annoying. But the fact that nobody other than my boss knew, because I'm really close with him, still am. And he had been with me through something else even a couple years prior. But, yeah, nobody had any idea that any of that had happened. So the fact that everybody else just went on with their lives and acted like everything was fine, they'd be... You know, I work with food, and they'd be arguing about something with hot dogs and being so ticked off about it. And I would sit there and be like, dude, we could all die tomorrow, and you're red in the face arguing about a hot dog. Like, it was hard for me to take anything seriously, like, at all. Not to mention the fact that I couldn't even drive to work for a couple months because my anxiety was so high, because now I realized mortality was a real thing. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't even drive myself because I'd have a panic attack and black out. Like, that happened a couple times. So
did you feel like when you went back to work and people found out what happened, mm-hmm. you feel like you had to relive it all over again, and that add to the trauma? Was it therapeutic for you, or was it really, really difficult?
At the time, it was, I think, more traumatic. Now it's therapeutic for sure to just talk about it, and now that I'm over the hump. But at that point, like, it was so close that it would just all come rushing back. And the fact that, unlike with your story, there was literally nothing else that I could have done different. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I felt like I was, I don't know, kind of a victim, because nobody could tell me exactly why it happened. Like I said, still can't, and it happened. So yeah, it was just scary to know, like, anything can happen at any time and you don't have control over so much in your life.
And you like to have control.
To a fault. Yeah, I definitely like to have control, which is a positive and a negative.
So you mentioned working in the food industry. Mm-hmm. I know you're a foodie.
Well, I would hope so, since we live together. Yeah.
Not everyone else knows that you're a foodie.
Oh, yes.
So, what was the first food that you wanted to have, or you actually had, when you got home? Do you remember?
I don't even remember. I know that I actually was... I just wanted real coffee, because I tried to be as healthy as possible with pregnancies and followed the no caffeine and all that jazz. And the coffee in a hospital sucks. So I really wanted coffee. I remember, not that I was craving it necessarily, but it was awesome. So working in the food industry, so I was a category manager for food and I had a lot of suppliers that knew that I had a kid. And so they were friends and wanted to send me things to my house. And the one company, Father's Table Cheesecake, shout out Father's Table, David, said he wanted to send me a cheesecake to celebrate. He sent a massive sampler box that had like 3 or 4 samplers that had, I think, 30 some different flavors in per container, and then all these little 2-slice ones. So we had 100 plus slices of cheesecake that we just had in our freezer. Could you just pull them out? And I ate so much cheesecake. I do remember that. It was delicious.
How long did it take you to finish it? I mean, I'm going to give you 4 days.
No. Okay, if you ate that much cheesecake in that amount of time, I don't think you'd
poop.
You wouldn't poop for days, though. But that's still cheese.
Yeah, but you love cheese.
I do, and I love... Their cheesecake was really good, because I even helped create some of the flavors. So, yeah, it made me happy to actually be able to eat those. Cinnamon crumble one? Amazing. But yeah, no, it took a while to eat it all.
Would you say to die for?
I'd say, I was going to say amazeballs, but yeah, good job. Yep, to die for.
Thank you. Thank you. Full circle.
Oh, boy.
Full circle. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the questions that I have for you.
Okay.
I think the moral of our story today is kind of what Courtney said, is that life is short and you really don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. So embracing and enjoying the opportunities and privileges that you do have is very valuable, would you say?
I would agree with that, yes.
And don't take advantage of your opportunities. So with that being said, that is all that I have for this week. Would you have anything else you'd like to add?
I would just say one of the running themes you'll see with a few things here in the next couple weeks would be that, so because of that, it definitely changed my mindset where I used to be, I've never been a quiet one. It's funny, if people will know me from a workplace or they truly know me, they think that I'm an extrovert when I'm actually an introvert. But I think ever since then, anytime that anything has ever happened to me, I take on the mindset of, like, just rip off the Band-Aid and get it over with. So things with work that we'll talk about in the future, things in my personal life, just rip off the Band-Aid. Because in the past, I may have just lived literally an entire lifetime not being happy at, you know, a job I didn't like or, you know, some kind of unjust thing that was happening. And I think you've been through that too, where we're like, no, you can't live like that. And the whole, you only have the one life to live, but you can make changes. So a lot of what I learned is to just, yeah, rip off the Band-Aid and just do it now. Because if something's going to happen, it's going to happen regardless. So just better to happen and work through it, even though it might not be the most comfortable. So that is my story. And I think that's all that I have for today too. So that's my story. I'm still here. If you want to read more about it or see any of the pictures of me looking like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, I believe my old, I guess it could be called a blog, but my old website's still up, quirkyjean.com, where it has a bunch of things about my story and what eventually led to adoption and things like that. And this would be the main thing that, you know, started the pathway to adoption, because I literally couldn't have kids anymore. But there's some pictures and information and things on there, give you a little sneak peek to some other things. So thank you guys for listening. And next week we'll be talking to Scott about his life-changing event.
Have a good day.
Bye.